Did you know that eight and a half years ago, this building right here was still under construction? And I remember driving past it with Don Robinson, who was my planting coach, who's also the associate conference superintendent. And as we were driving past, it just so happened we saw this building, and Don mentioned to me that this would be an ideal place to meet and to get a church started because it's well located and the community around it is growing and it's about the right size. At the time, we were just in town for 24 hours to see if God was opening up any opportunities to start a church in the city that the Lord had laid on mine and Anita's heart. At that point in time, for the last 5 months, we'd gone through the process of church planter assessment, and the dream of what was to become Columbia Grove was forming, even though at that point it didn't even have a name. I remember how a couple weeks later, I was in Detroit with a church planter training event, and I ran into Pat Stark. He's another Covenant Church pastor, who at the time was also training to be a church planter. And he had mentioned to me that his wife grew up here in Wenatchee and that he had a college friend who lived here who was a teacher. And this teacher, Pat said, would probably be interested in knowing about what we were trying to do. And so I copied down this friend's name and email address, and I emailed him as soon as I got back home. And he wrote me back a few days later asking the kind of questions that you might ask someone if you had just received a random email from someone trying to start a church, including this question: where do you plan to meet? And so I wrote back to him also with a question. I said, who should we contact about meeting in the junior high that is under construction in East Wenatchee? Because if we can, we would like to meet there. I got an email back just a few minutes later. How could you have possibly known that I'm the person to contact? You see, it just so happened that my friend happened to be friends with Greg Loomis, who was then the assistant principal here. And he was the man who enabled us to be actually the very first community group to meet here in this building. Our first preview service, who was here for that? Right? Was 8 years ago today. And it was about that many people. First preview service. And we're so grateful for the space. The contact that we just so happened to make with Greg was one of the three miracles that God used to allow our church to start. And I'd love to tell you about the other two sometime. Now, in the 8 years since our first preview service, you saw those hands, we've seen our ministry grow. We've seen people come to Christ. We've seen people discover a new church family and new friends. We've served thousands of people in Jesus' name. And from small beginnings, we've slowly grown. We outgrew the space for one service. We bought more chairs. Many of you were part of that. And then we made the decision to move to two services. And now our second service is getting close to full. It's not completely full, but it's getting close. And we're not far off from having to make the very same difficult space decisions all over again. And see, it turns out that my planting coach, Don, was right. This is a very good place to start a church. But it's not a place that we can stay forever. Greg Loomis is no longer here. And while the remaining administration has been nothing but gracious, we know full well that we are just one phone call away from losing our ability to meet here. There is no lease. All we have is a week-to-week rental agreement based on the good graces of the current administration. Our hallways here have been a great place to offer a small nursery and a children's church, and in our hallways, we keep running out of space. Should we expect our kids to always meet in hallways? Should we expect our teachers to only and forever have access to teaching supplies that can fit on a rolling cart? Should we expect our worship teams to forever only have access to the communication tools and media that they can roll in and set up from scratch every single week? Should we expect to never have midweek gatherings or gatherings in the evening? Should we? About 5 years ago, thanks to a tip from Dave and Linda's son, Mark, we just so happened to learn that the school district was surplusing some property, the old junior high football field. And some denominational folks, including Steve Dawson of National Covenant Properties, we've heard some discussion about that department already. Well, this is the guy that oversees all the land acquisitions and building programs and church loans for the denomination. And he's done this for the last 25 years. Over his career, has managed more than $1 billion in church assets, seen hundreds of churches get started. Well, he just so happened to be in town that week. And he came by. He saw the piece of land that we now know as the Field of Dreams, or 333 9th Street. And he told us that this land would be a great place for a church to take root. This is what he said. He said, it's on a major road. It's in a great location. There's high visibility. And it is virtually ideal. This land like this is rare, he told us. And it's unlikely that a piece of property like this will ever become available in the valley again. We see Columbia Grove growing and doing well, and we believe that you're going to need somewhere for this ministry to take root. And so with that assessment of the land, they offered to purchase the land for us cash, so that when we were older and larger and had enough leadership structure in place that we could make big decisions, we would have an amazing piece of land to consider. And it just so happened that they made the purchase before the land values in the valley spiked. Now, as of today, they have invested between the $850,000 they've put in the piece of land and the $100,000 that they invested in helping our church get started. It's been close to $1 million the denomination has invested in us and invested in our capacity to have a terrific opportunity to consider when it was our time. And today is our time. It's time to grow up. It's time to take some next steps and make some decisions about the future. Now, I'm reminded, a little Bible interlude here, I'm reminded in the Old Testament that God called a fledgling nation out of Egypt. Moses talked to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." He rescued them from slavery and they journeyed through the desert toward the land that God had promised for them, the land of Canaan. And now as the nation grew closer to the borders, they sent in spies into the land to assess the potential of the land. Maybe you remember this story. And the spies came back and they said that the land was good. It was just like God had promised. It was beautiful. It was fertile. But you see, some in the reconnaissance party came back with a different story. They said, "It's too difficult. We could never take the cities. The people there are too strong, and the challenges of taking the land make it impossible." Now, if you'll remember from that story, the people let their fears overtake their faith, and they never even crossed the border. They didn't even try. They allowed the fear of the challenges before them to overtake their trust in God, even though these same Israelites, they had seen on a daily basis how God had provided for them. On a daily basis. But instead, they chickened out. And as a result of their fear, the Lord let them wander in the desert for 40 years until the generation of chickens died off. And their kids were so sick of being nomadic that they finally mustered up the courage to do something and start taking the land. And God provided for them. And today, I really believe we need to learn from that cautionary tale. And we need to choose a different path. Now, there are not exact parallels between the Israelites and our church. That was a nation, and we are a church. They were defined by land and borders, and we are defined by people. People who have been saved by Jesus and are being led by the Holy Spirit. And truthfully, we don't need this piece of property in order to fulfill all that God has for us, because God is bigger than any one option. But today we need to remember God's faithfulness, and as we move forward, we need to put fear aside and we need to take a very careful, a very trusting, and a very faith-filled look at this option the Lord has given us. Lord, you have put this amazing possibility, this plan, this property, you have put it before us. What do you want us to do with it? What do you want us to do with it? Today's the day, and now's the time. If not now, when? Should we mark it on the calendar when we're going to try to trust the Lord and do anything risky or big? When? If today's not the day, and now's not the time. We need to prayerfully ask each of us, how is God calling me and my family to personally sacrifice in order for our church to take the next steps of mission and to set long-lasting roots into the community that we've been called to reach and serve? If we were only planning to do ministry for the next few months, there's a whole lot of better things we could invest in. But if we plan to do ministry, and I'm talking about discipleship, I'm talking about serving, I'm talking about reaching people for Christ, if we plan to do that for the next 50-plus years, how can we not invest in long-term infrastructure? It's harder, and it requires sacrifice in the short term, but long-term ministry happens because of short-term sacrificial investment. That's how it happens, right? Now, I have wondered for years what I would say to you on this day. I've wondered, would God give me such a strong conviction about this property and this plan that I would want to stand up in front of you like Joshua or something and try to rally the troops to take the land? Would I be led to say, God told me that this is the way to go? I've wondered about that, and I've been asking God for years for a clear, singular conviction like that. And that's not what God has given me. I have not heard a clear yes on this property or this plan. I have not heard a clear no. What I've heard is this: listen. Don't fear. Because this decision is bigger than you. That's what I've heard. Because this decision is bigger than any one person can make. And today it is not about one pastor, my sense, whoever's sense of conviction or leading about a facility. It is about a church body, all of us together, shaping and sharing a mission to connect or to worship Jesus, to lead others to know and worship him too, to connect people in ways that grow their faith and friendship, and to serve our community in the name of Jesus so that people see the love of Jesus hand in hand with the message of Jesus. That's what we're about. It's a decision we have to make together. We need to seek God. We need to together sacrifice for the mission. And together we need to trust that God's got great plans for us. Now, I don't know how all the details of this are going to turn out. There are no guarantees about this campaign other than the fact that God is big enough and large enough to carry our church into the future. But I do know this, and you need to know it too. The Thompson family is all in. We're all in. We're in it for the long haul. We're looking forward to giving sacrificially towards our shared mission so that our church can put deep, lasting roots in the community. You need to know I'm not asking anyone else to do something that we are not willing and eager to do first. And so that's why I would ask all of you, all of us, to very prayerfully, over the next 34 days, very prayerfully and carefully consider what God would have you do with this opportunity. We are calling the congregation to 34 days of prayer. I'd like you to take that master plan home. Read through it. Get all the details. Get everything that we can know on the table. That's what we know. That's what we know. And say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And as we gather back here in 34 days, as we pray about it, we lay our cards on the table. We say, this is what this means in terms of where our family is and how the Lord is calling me to be personally invested in the long-term mission of the church. We'll make the decision together. That's how we do it. Listen. Don't fear. Because this decision is bigger than you. I'm going to turn it over to Bill and Steve to explain kind of how this pledging process works. And I think there's some letters that are being distributed now. But before I do, are there any questions that from what I've talked about that you would like to have answered.